I want to thank all of you for being here on this beautiful morning that our Lord has blessed us with. And along with Charlie, I too want to welcome every one of you here to Prairie Village Church of Christ. Remember, you can go to www.pvchurchofchrist and hear this lesson and many more if you'd like. That's www.pvchurchofchrist. I especially want to welcome our visitors, and this morning I asked all of you who are not members of the body of Christ to listen closely. Please open your Bibles and follow along. Please take notes if you'd like to, for I do not want you to take my word on this very important lesson. What you're going to hear this morning is something you probably have never heard before in your life, and if you attend a denominational church, you will never hear this kind of a sermon. I can assure you that. Please understand, though, that I never attempt to be mean to anyone or hurt anyone's feelings. However, if the truth offends, so be it. The Apostle Paul commands us to preach the gospel anywhere, anytime, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. That's exactly what I intend to do this morning. We here at Prairie Village speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent. If you have any questions about our stand for the Bible or would like to set up a Bible study, see me or one of the men after the lesson. So please open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4 as we begin our study of this man-made religious holiday, Easter, which is today, April the 16th, 2017. Now I was told this story from my friend. He said he was at his bank recently, and he could not help but overhear a conversation that was taking place between several of the ladies who worked there and a customer. The ladies were bemoaning the fact that they were going to have to work all day on Friday and would not be able to attend Good Friday services. The customer, who seemed to be yet a very nice lady, was expressing her disappointment not knowing where the ecumenical Good Friday service was going to take place. She said she just loved it when the Baptists, the Christian folks, and the Roman Catholics, and all other denominational people all got together for one big sermon, one big service. Although they were generally lamenting, things just aren't like they used to be. Things aren't just like they used to be, they said. And you know, the very fact that there are so many different denominations claiming to worship Christ, and the very fact that there is such a thing as Good Friday taking place on Friday before the Sunday that many celebrate as Easter, all indicate that things aren't like they used to be. What I mean is that when Jesus established the church, his church, there existed no such things as different denominations. There were no denominations in Jesus' day, only his church, the Church of Christ, and the Catholic Church came about 600 years later in 606. The church that Jesus established knew nothing of Lent or Ash Wednesday or Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and most certainly did not set aside one Sunday to be designated as Easter and used to commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in a special way. To many, Easter has become the one time of the year for them to attend church services, honestly believing that they're commemorating the resurrection of Christ. And here's something I bet you didn't know. As important as Easter has become to most Americans, it was for many years rejected by American Protestants, who believed that to follow the church calendar and keep certain days was to follow and to bow to the dictates of the Pope. Probably didn't know that. Each year, national magazines and publications of every type carry overly emotional and overly exaggerated articles, and for the most part, false theories about the word Easter and the resurrection of Jesus, planting the sinful, ugly seeds of paganism in the unlearned and hungry minds of men and women. In many cases, it has become evident that the very elect, individuals in every congregation, have turned to be like the world about us, to practice paganism and to keep the days and festival, unknown to the Lord's New Testament teachings. We are not to pollute the worship of God with traditions of men or the words of men, nor are the days of men. This is why I always ask you to open your Bible and follow along with me and not take my word or any man's word, only the word of God. So now let's hear the Apostle Paul as he reproves the Christians of Galatia along these very lines. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading verse 8. When you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back to the weak and worthless and elemental things to which you desire and be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Now because of tradition of men, most people this day believe that Easter has always been observed ever since the apostles' time. And it's by authority of the scriptures. Almost all people believe that. Believe that the Easter has always been observed, even from the apostolic times, and is by the authority of the scriptures. Long before the Lord's resurrection, there were many great pagan festivals during the spring season. It is surprising how many of these ancient rites have found their way into Christian observances. Neither Easter nor Good Friday are biblical terms. Let me repeat that. Neither Easter nor Good Friday are biblical terms. Good Friday never appears in the scripture. Never. As far as I know, the word Easter appears in only one translation of the New Testament, and that is the King James or Authorized Translation. So I want you to look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and I will be reading from King James Version. Acts 12, 1 through 4. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, the use of the word Easter in verse 4 is not a translation, it is a mistranslation. The word is Pascha, which is the ordinary Greek word for Passover. It is used 29 times in the New Testament, and 28 times it is translated as Passover. Acts 12 and verse 4 is the only place in the English translation of the Bible the word Easter is recorded. The same Greek word is used in Matthew 26 and verse 2, and Luke 2:41, and Luke 22 and verse 1, and John 2 and verse 13, and John 2 and verse 23, and other places, and in every instance is translated Passover. Today, if we were to celebrate the Easter of Acts 12 and verse 4, it would not be the Easter of today, but the Jewish Passover. King Herod put forth his hand to afflict the certain of the church, and it's absurd to think that he wanted to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Anyone even familiar with the Jewish feast days would know that the inspired writer, Luke, had the Passover in mind. In all this translation, Albert Barnes, a noted Presbyterian commentator, said these words, and I quote, "There never was a more absurd or unhappy translation than this. The original is simply after the Passover. The word Easter now denotes the festival observed by many Christians in honor of the resurrection of the Savior. But the origin has no reference to that, nor is there the slightest evidence that any such festival was observed at the time when this book was written. The translation is not only unhappy, as it does not convey at all the meaning of the original, but because it may contribute to to foster an opinion that such a festival was observed in the time of the apostles. Now, that was by Albert Barnes. Albert Barnes, he's a noted Presbyterian commentator. But you know what? Today, Presbyterian Church observes Easter. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, if you would. Here Paul says, clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Now some try as they may, attempt to get Easter out of this passage, which is calling for the removal of evil among the brethren at Corinth. This is a classic example of going to the Scriptures to find authority for something that someone wants to do rather than to simply find out what the Scriptures say. The early Christians commemorated the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ every first day of the week by partaking of the Lord's Supper. This was done under the guidance and direction of the apostles who had been commissioned by the Lord to teach those they converted to observe all that I command you. Faithful children of God continue to do the very same thing today as we did this very morning here, and as we do every first day of the week. There's absolutely no authority, no biblical authority for man or a group of men to set aside one day in a year above all others to commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus as an official religious observance. It is true, if it is true that the Bible supplies us with everything pertaining to life and godliness, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1:3, and if it is wrong to add to or take away from the Word of God, as seen in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, and if the Bible does not mention Good Friday or Easter celebrations, what does that mean for those who engage in them? Think about it. When I see men, often known sinners, mind you, dress themselves in robes to portray the Son of God, I am sick, disgusted, and reminded what Jude said in Jude 17 through 19. Let's look at what Jude wrote. Come with me to Jude, chapter 17, and verses 17 and 19. Jude 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time, there shall be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause division, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. We see that every day, especially on Easter and Christmas. Now let's listen to the words of God, as Paul wrote in Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Paul said, therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Traditions of men make worship vain, brethren. Traditions of men make their worship vain. Jesus said that teaching for doctrines or commandments of men make their worship vain in Mark 7 and verse 7. Their lips may have honored the Lord, but their heart was far from Him. If their heart was right with the Lord, they would have wanted to obey Him. The religious world has never learned that all traditions of men pumped into their services only make their worship before God vain. They think they're helping God. All they're doing is making it vain when they do not do as He has commanded. Such things as counting beads, lighting candles, sprinkling water, having plays of a religious nature such as Easter and Christmas, having special music, using instruments of music in worship, and any number of other things that only make worship vain in the sight of God. It is all human tradition, brethren. It is all human tradition, for none of this can be found in the will of God, the New Testament. It doesn't make any difference how honest and sincere people might be. They can be sincerely wrong and be rejected of God. So let's look at the things traditions will do. Listen, if you come with me to Matthew the 15, chapter 15 and verse 9. Let's listen to what our Lord says. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, He said, But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's from men's creed books, brethren. Turn quickly, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Now, after Peter answered the multitude in Acts 2 and verse 37, when they asked men and brethren, What shall we do? Well, about 3,000 souls that gladly received His word were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Verse 42 of Acts 2 says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Whose doctrine was it? The apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine, not man-made doctrines or denominations. So, brethren and friends, doctrine means teaching, and the gospel is what is taught. It is impossible to separate the gospel from the doctrine. My friends, traditions such as Easter will exalt the practice of men through the years over the teaching of the Word of God. So what happens? What God has said means nothing. Most men today will take the traditions of men over the Word of God when it comes to the question of which they'll follow. How sad that is. Most men today will take the traditions of men over the Word of God when it comes to a question of which they will follow. Obedience to the will of God becomes unimportant with many today. If man wants to follow tradition, it makes no difference what God has said or what He wants man to do. Tradition will kill the desire to study. It will kill the desire to learn and to know the truth of God's Word. And there is no need to spend time studying to learn the truth if men are going to follow tradition. Thus, ignorance of truth becomes just as good as a knowledge of truth. Come back to Matthew, the 15th chapter, please. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Our Lord says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, He says, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. At the very root of the Pharisees' traditions lay hearts unwilling to yield to God's simple plan. These were hearts determined to make their own rules, rules to which to them were in addition to and in the place of and more attractive than the statutes of God. This was the seed from which the plant of Phariseeism grew. This was the plant which God the Son promised would be rooted up, and that means it will be destroyed at the end of time. It will be rooted up and destroyed. All denominations will. Likewise, brethren and friends, the dissatisfaction with God's way is the seed from which all modern-day denominationalism has grown. From Catholicism in the 6th century through the Protestant Reformation to the present, the plants of denominations with their corresponding and often contradictory dogmas have flourished, such as celebrating Easter as a religious holiday. Turn with me, if you would, please, to John, the 17th chapter. Let's look at this beautiful prayer our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. John 17. The division represented by these denominational systems is deplorable, as seen in John 17, verses 20 and 21, where Jesus prayed this beautiful prayer. He says in verse 20, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Man-made denominations serve only to confuse honest hearts and prejudice otherwise sincere seekers against the truth. Those noxious plants shall be rooted up. To be sure, most all denominations do teach some truth. They are, without doubt, good moral people and good neighbors within this system. But while they may claim the name of Christ, they are unknown to Him. Come with me and let's read together Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Remember now, Jesus is speaking. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Their worship, brethren, is worthless. Their worship is worthless. The point Jesus is making here is doing anything religiously without His authority is a sin. Therefore, all denominations are in sin and they will be rooted up at the end time. They are known as Christians to the rest of the world, but not to Christ. To be a Christian is to belong to Christ and to submit in all things His headship. Denominationalism and its members fail on both counts. This makes the appeal of first century Christianity unique and powerful. You don't have to belong to a denominational system. You can lay all doctrines and practices of men aside and follow the simple, pure New Testament pattern. To do so will make you a Christian, a follower of Christ, nothing more, nothing less. Your allegiance will not be to a man-made system governed by man-made rules, but to Jesus Christ and the New Testament as your guide for daily living. You will enjoy a relationship with others who have the same allegiance as do you in a local congregation, as we do here at Prairie Village. Every plant which God did not plant, whose roots are not found running deep into the book, will be destroyed. This means that every denominational system and every denominational doctrine, having had their beginning in the will of man, will be uprooted. They will not stand in the judgment day as Jesus warns us in John 12, verse 48. Look with me, please. John 12. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus says, He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So, brethren and friends, when you reject His word, the New Testament, you reject Jesus. We need always to follow the traditions which has been handed down from the Lord and His apostles and reject the traditions of man. Human traditions will make our worship vain. So here is another man-made holiday, Easter, yet all the Lord wants is for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There'll be a lot of spirited Easter celebrations, but they're going to be real short on truth. I am so thankful, as you should be, that our Lord died for us and rose from the dead. I am thankful enough to commemorate His great sacrifice as He has informed us that how He wants it. He wants it remembered and not the way that I want to do it. He says, and do it in remembrance of me. Ask yourself this question. The celebration of Easter was from what source? From heaven or from man? Ask yourself that question. In closing, let us earnestly and fearfully take heed to the word of God through Jeremiah. I want us to come to Jeremiah chapter 6. I love this verse. Jeremiah chapter 6. In verse 16, look what he's saying here. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where there is a good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. The old paths. Do not stray from the word. The old paths. Walk in them, and you'll have rest for your souls. Brethren and friends, Easter begins too late and is without the authority of God. There may be some here this morning who are not Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you're living in sin. But you don't have to. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then what is left for you to do is to come forward and repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. There is no invitation more inviting, no plan more powerful than that contained in the Word of God. I want you to listen to this gentle plea of Jesus, and you can come with me if you'd like. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can we help anyone this morning? If we can, we beg you to come forward as we stand and sing. Jesus is calling. Jesus is tenderly calling you today. Brother Bill will lead us as we stand and as we sing. If we can help anyone, come now.